How's everyone tonight? Are you ready? Are you ready? You don't know what I'm going to do yet, so you don't want to say yes. I'm just going to share the word with you. Don't worry too much. Let's just pray first. Father, we thank you for this day, for your wonderful love and peace and righteousness that you revealed to us, Lord, by the Holy Ghost that was sent down from heaven to invade our lives, to invade our hearts, to invade everything to do with us, Lord, and we want to give you permission tonight to take control, to take the areas of our life, the areas of our heart that we've not yet yielded to you, and to say, Lord, I surrender. I want to give it to you, Jesus. I want you to take control of my heart. I want you to take control of my life. That your living water could flow out to the nations, God. That you come into this place and flow out through your vessels. Flow out into your vessels. Flow out through us, oh God. That we could see the light of your presence like we've never seen it before. And that hearts and hungry people and lives that are around us and our friends that are dying beside us and our relatives that are dying, God, they come to you. They'd find this river. They'd find this life. They'd partake of it with us together because they'll know that God is in your midst and God is working to bring us and all of us into his presence and his glory. And I thank you tonight, God, that you are moving, that you are working, that you are doing something that's beyond our understanding. And Lord, help us to get a hold, a picture, Lord, of you as you come and work among us in Jesus' name. Sorry, I never know what I'm going to do. I don't plan prayers like that, obviously. But let's start because I don't want to waste time tonight. Good to have everybody here. We're going to go to Ezekiel because the Lord put this on my heart. So I got up around 6:15 one morning. And, you know, Elon Musk is putting these little chips in people's brain now. Somebody can play chess. But you know what? The Lord wants to download something into us that's greater. And whatever technology can do, God could do something better. And if you want to know something, really this message is about this. By the end of tonight, get more connected to Jesus. Because he's going to download stuff into you that you couldn't have got any other way. You know, we can get connected to all the stuff in the internet and the video games and, well, you know, do I have to go on about our entertainment? I mean, fine, we do it. But God wants to download something to us tonight. And you know what? If you look at this passage, you know, the time that God often comes, and Pastor will tell you this, when he's in Cuba and he was as sick as a dog, he could hear the Lord Jesus very clearly. Do you know why that is? Because the Lord is spirit and we are flesh. And so when we are weak, the Holy Ghost can speak in loud and clear to us. And there's nothing in the way. All that extra eating and stuff in my face didn't get in the way of the Holy Ghost at that point. That's why Paul said, I glory in my weakness. Like I take pleasure when I'm weak. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong. What he meant was the Holy Ghost can quicken me better. I got this contact with him that's going to come through in my life, and other people are going to get blessed, and the Holy Ghost is going to minister to them as well. He said, the power of Christ rests on me. Who doesn't want some power resting on you? How about this one? Of Christ. Not just the power of darkness, not the power of psychic connection, the power of Christ. He is the greatest power. And you know what the Bible says? The preaching of the cross to those who are perishing is foolishness, but to us that are being saved, it's the power of God. We need some, listen, do you need some power tonight? I'll give you a chance. Do you need some power? Let's do this again. Do you need some power? All right. It's coming. His power is within you. And let's read the scripture, but before we do this, did you know this was what happened? We were studying in the Bible studies, and we just got through almost Joshua. Got one chapter to go. Everybody deserves a medal. There's a lot of war. There's a lot of killing in there. But here's the thing. God gave Israel this land. And right now, do you guys know what happened in 70 AD? Come on. What happened in 70 AD? The Jews got kicked out for how long? Till 1948. But you know what? There's another captivity that happened. And the Jews got into this land about 1500 BC. And this stuff should interest you if for no other reason than this. There's war going on in the Middle East right now. Sometimes our troops get drawn into the war. Sometimes your money goes over there. But we should be more interested for another reason. And here's what it is. God gave them the land, and he basically said this: if you keep my commandments, you'll keep the land. If you don't keep it, I'll kick you out. So Israel goes back and forth. They serve God, they fall away. They serve God, they fall away. Till finally God says, okay, I'm going to have to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to have to kick you out. And so he kicked them out around 586 BC, almost 1,000 years later. It's called the Captivity of Babylon. It's all historical. You can go read it. But there was a prophet named Ezekiel. And, you know, sometimes as a minister of the gospel, I'm pretty sure a pastor will understand, you got a trembling inside of you. You know, as you're bringing forth, as you're coming to the Word of God, this isn't my ideas. It's the Word of God. I tremble at this Word too, you know. It's like, oh, he's a great, I don't care whether I'm a great speaker or not. What matters is the Word going to be delivered? Amen? Let's pray, everybody, let's pray that right now. Lord, let your Word be delivered. Let your Word be delivered. So 70 years of captivity before they went back, and Ezekiel is going to, this is what happened. Ezekiel was one of the people that was taken in the captivity a bit before the actual 586, but he gave this prophecy. Now, I want you to imagine what it was like. They're in Babylon. Their homeland's been taken. They thought it was Jerusalem. God dwells there. It'll never fall. It's never going to be taken by the enemy. That's called a false prophet. They came and they said, hey, it'll never fall. God is with Jerusalem. He lives there. Don't worry about it. But it fell. It fell into enemy hands. Does anybody feel sometimes like your life just fell into enemy hands? Come on. Come on. I'm waiting. From the beginning of tonight, I realize I'm going to have to drag you guys with me. It's okay, though. You know, our lives can fall into the wrong hands. You know what the wrong hands might be? They might even be your own. Ooh, I'll get to that later. But it could also be the devil who doesn't like you. It could also be powers of darkness that are working against you, whether you've really considered it before now or not. So let's read what happens here as Ezekiel gives this prophecy. And we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to read some verses here. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel. Now, I want you to realize something, folks. Be careful as you hear these words. I want you to consider something. Open your mind to who the house of Israel is. Open your mind tonight. Keep your mind open. But for my holy name's sake, which you profaned among the nations where you've went. Has anybody here profaned God's name? Done anything that dishonored him? And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord. That's a divine name in Scripture. It means I am that I am. He's the great I am. Says the Lord God, when I am hallowed or made holy, what does the Lord's Prayer say? My Father who, what? Hallowed be thy name. When my name is made holy before your eyes or their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle, listen to this, folks, we got Easter coming up. I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Idols mean you put something else before God, and you worship it instead. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be the Maple Leafs last night. They're up 5-0. Huh? Oh no, they're going to lose. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Oh. You know what? This is why I'm preaching tonight. This is the verse. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. You know, we might need that. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, his commandments. And you will keep my judgments, you'll keep my laws, and do them. Then you'll dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. This is a great saying in the scripture. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it. He's going to give blessings. What did you talk about tonight? Showers of... And I'll bring no famine upon you. That sounds like the opposite of showers. If you get famine. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees. That means you're going to have abundance of goods. And increase your fields so that you never need again to bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Well, you know what? Isn't this scripture wonderful when we can just say that's what Israel had to do? Because they were kicked out of their land. So God came to them, and we could say, I feel for Israel. But I'm glad that I'm not like that. And in the Bible interpretation, we have this little thing called, you start with the Old Testament and you interpret what was written to them, what they wrote as being to fulfill then. And then in the New Testament, there's often a spiritual interpretation of that literal thing. I'll give you an example. We have Easter coming up. Guess what the Jews had to do when they left the land of Egypt? What did they have to do on the Passover? What does that mean? They had to take a lamb. It became the Passover lamb. Each house had to have one, eat it, and do it in haste. And it's every year from that point on, every generation had to do it. They still celebrate Passover. When Jesus Christ came, there was a Passover. But guess what John said in his gospel? John 1:29, he said, look at this.